Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
The name of this series, From Relational Vampires to People Who Suck. And it's funny, that the only people that really struggle with that is church people. Because if you walk up to a non-churchy person and you go, hey, there's some people in your life that suck, they're going to go, yeah, I get you. Right. That makes sense. I think sometimes we get too uptight about things we should. Anyway, that's not the point of this. So the heart of this message is, man, I believe this. I believe that church is a place where people come to find freedom. And, man, freedom exists on a bunch of different levels. I think that in our lives, we're getting ready to move into the holiday season, meaning that we're gonna do Christmas and Thanksgiving with people more than likely that we're related to. And that means that there are going to be all kinds of crazy expectations, but not just around Christmas and the holidays, but really in life in general, there are people who have these crazy expectations of our life. We all wrestle with some people who are controlling. I want you just in your mind, just as I say that, if you can think of somebody in your life who is controlling, will you just stick your hand up for just a second? Now, here's the thing. If you're sitting with somebody, when you went to put your hand up, they grabbed your arm to pull it back down, we automatically know who the controlling person in your relationship is. And we've all been in those situations where authority figures have abused their power. And we know that sometimes those scales can go really far in the opposite direction. But I'm going to be honest with you, not everybody that tries to control you doesn't like you. I'm actually going to contend that a lot of times the people who love you the most can be the most controlling people. Not out of a malicious heart, but actually out of a desire because they do love you. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that it doesn't need to happen, but I don't believe that these people are intentionally malice or anything. Most of them are hurt. It comes from a place of wounding. A lot of them are afraid. And the other place that I think it comes from is a place of insecurity. So I think that people that tend to be more controlling of other people tend to be people that are hurting, afraid, or insecure. But here's the problem with that, is as we begin to allow controlling people to control our life, we get sucked into what I call the black hole. It's the black hole of when is it enough? Have you ever tried to give it a person who's time needy, more of your time? All they want is more of your time. It's like it never ends. It's like me eating Zach's hot dogs. When does the gluttony stop? Have you know people that are emotionally needing? You're never going to be able to give them enough attention. You're never going to be able to do those things. And oftentimes, when you don't, they tend to stomp around, they whine, they yell, and it ends up causing you to live a life that's you're walking around on eggshells your entire life. Whether it's a boss, it's a spouse, it's a child, it's a friend. We live these lives to where, because of somebody else's need to control what God is doing in our life and the way we live our life, we end up living a life that's anything short of that. So if you know these people, if one of these people exists, please don't point at them right now. So here's what we believe. We believe the controllers have two great weapons. And I've really got to kind of lay this out a little bit systematically, so it's not going to be like the most cool message you've ever seen, but I think it's super engaging. Because vampires are here to do one thing, and that's suck the life out of you. Those controlling people, if you allow them to control your life, will actually rob you of what God has. So the first thing that controlling people use is they use threats. Either you do it, or you'll regret it. How many of you guys have heard that? Or what about this one? If you don't, you'll pay for it somehow. Now we think of that like in violence, but really it can go like this. Well, you know, if you don't come to the family thing, great, 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 great grandma may not be here next year. You know, if you don't get this project done by a specific time, we may need to look for somebody who can. You know what, honey, if you don't love me, maybe there's somebody out there that could. Oh, I would never mention divorce. But you see how it works? Man, maybe you've heard some of those things echoed. Maybe if you're a teenager, it looks like this. You've been dating somebody for a while, and you know, if you don't sleep with me soon, you know, I have needs. Men's game has not gotten better over years. I'm just saying. Maybe if you have a boss or a spouse that uses these tactics. Worse yet, what if you're guilty of some of it? Can I be honest with you? So I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of pastors all over the place. And here's what I found out, that most really successful pastors have to battle a little bit of a control thing because it's how we got everything going. Moms that have a bunch of kids tend to be control freaks. It's how you herded them from one point to another over time. And now the little goslings aren't doing what I want them to anymore. Moms are awful quiet this morning. They're just like looking at me like, what is this thing you speak of? The second thing that we use besides threats is we use guilt. After all I've done for you, you can't do this one thing I ask you to. I mean, after all I've invested, you can't. What about this? This is one of my favorite ones. I thought we were close. Obviously, you're not that kind of friend. Hold on, the worst one. Wait. This is the worst one. You call yourself a Christian? Some Christian you are. Am I the only person who's ever had these conversations? Or maybe a relative says this, you never call, you're too busy, you don't love me. What if I could be dead for 2 weeks and you wouldn't know it? You know how rooted in control all these statements are? And I think what happens is oftentimes we allow people's expectations of us to rule our life. And ultimately take us out of the plan that God has. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. I'm going to go Matthew chapter 16, 21 through probably 24 through the course of this message. But we're going to focus in just in the beginning on Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. This is a story where Jesus and Peter have an exchange. And Jesus is basically explaining to his disciples that he was going to do three things. He was going to suffer, he was going to give his life for our sins, and that he was going to be raised back to life. That's what he's getting ready to tell us, right? So here's what happens. Verse 21 said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and must suffer many things at the hands of the elders. Next slide, please. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now here's the thing. We know from Old Testament prophets that foretold Jesus to Jesus' very teaching while he was on earth that Jesus came to do three things. He came to live, to redeem, to suffer, to die, and to be resurrected again. We know it. But then Peter has an oh no you're not moment. Let's take a look. Verse 22. And Peter took him aside. Have you ever noticed the people that are trying to control your life, the first thing they've got to do is get you alone? You know why? Because they don't want everybody else to hear what they're about to say to you. Because I think even in the hearts of people, they know that what they're about to say and speak into your life isn't what they should be saying. So I've got to get you alone so that I have your undivided attention so that I can get you to do exactly what I want you to do. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. That would never be a good idea, by the way. If you're going to rebuke somebody, I'm going to pause the message. If you're going to tell somebody they're wrong, don't start with Jesus. But can I be honest with you? As I looked at that text, I actually figured out that I do this with Jesus all the time. God, you're calling me to that? No. There's no way. You don't want me to. Can I be honest with you? Life is not as much about what you say yes to as to what you say no to. Your no's are far more important than your yeses. Began to rebuke him and said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. Verse 23. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in the mind and concerns of God, but merely the human concerns." 24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Now here's what happens. So Jesus talks about this thing that he's got to do. It's actually three things. He said, "Man, I've got to suffer, I've got to die, and I've got to be raised from the dead," right? And then Peter instantaneously has this argument with him about that's not what Jesus really needs to do. And in that moment, it dawned on me, man, there are three things that you've got to figure out if you're going to get through and pass control on people in your life. You've got to know three things. The first thing you've got to know is this. You have to know what you are called to. Jesus was this. Jesus came to seek and save sinners. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom, to be killed and raised back to life. That's what he came here for. And my question is this. What were you created to do? And can I be honest with you? This changes a little bit as you go through life. Like when you're a young mom, life looks one way. And my calling, so I believe this, that as a spouse, your first call is to your family. Nuclear. Not expanded. Not your mom and them. Husband, wife, children. That's your nuclear responsibility. So if you don't know anything else, if you're married, that needs to be your first sets of priorities outside of God. Now we know God is always our first priority. But what am I called to? I'm called to be a spouse. I'm called to be a mom. I'm called to be a dad. I'm called to be a husband. I'm called to be a wife. I understand that is my calling. Maybe you're called to cure cancer. Maybe you're called also to be a barber. Maybe you're called, I don't know what your other calling, but this is my first calling. This is my second calling. This is my third calling. Here's how I rank them. Is this making any sense? And once you've got that down, now here's the thing, people go, "Well, I don't know what I'm called to." Get a piece of paper out. Right. I'm just waiting on God to tell me. Well, he may want you to take a note. Be ready. If you're praying this week that God shows you what you're called to, get a little pocket set of paper. Stick in your pocket with a pen, because he's going to tell you when it's not convenient. You know how many notes I've made for messages in the shower? I'll reach out and I'm holding it above the water, typing like this, trying to not to ruin, because I know that somewhere between my shower and my towel is Satan. Satan comes to do three things. Notice that even Satan has a job description. He knows his mission. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If you don't write down what your mission is, you won't know it tomorrow. It will move with the currents of the season of your life. So here's the thing. So know what you're called to. I know this. I know that I'm called to be a good husband. I know it. I know that I'm called to be a pastor. I know that I'm called to be a father. Those are my three most important jobs. If I don't get anything else done this week, those are the three things that need to sway every decision that I make. Now, I'm going to make a confession that most pastors don't. Usually I tell you how prepared I am, right? I've been studying all week. Man, we built all this stuff this week, and I didn't study like I should have. Judge me how you want to. You've had those weeks. Man, I didn't pray like I was supposed to. I didn't read like I was supposed to. We had somebody sick in the hospital. I was ministering to them, and I'm trying to get a building done, and I'm trying to keep everybody happy. And here's what I figured out. But what I did was I got off the things. I let other, not people. People didn't control me this week, but situations did. And as I began to prepare for this message, the Lord showed me. He said, "Man, look, even noble tasks can try to control you." So knowing what you have to say yes to, the most important thing I can do is not meet with people. Because at best, I could probably meet with 20 people in a week. Can we say that? But in one session here, we'll run anywhere on a horrible week, 40 or 50 people. On a great week, I think we could fit 100 and something in this building just in sanctuary, right? So what I can do in a full week, I can do in an hour on a Sunday morning. The most important thing that I do vocationally in my job is prepare every week to feed you the gospel so that you're equipped for your week. Which means this, I can say yes to some things, but not everything. Once you know your mission and your calling, you now know what to say yes to, and by default, you know what to say no to. It becomes so much more clear. Now, here's the problem. I'm a people pleaser. I love people. That's why I started, that's why God called me in the ministry. I like people. I like saying yes. The problem is I'm defined by my no's. I'm defined by what I don't do. Because if I do every opportunity I have, I won't have time to fulfill my calling. Because everybody that wants to meet with you for 5 minutes never wants to meet with you for 5 minutes. They want 5 hours. It's the black hole. Watch this. How many people pleasers do I have? Did you know that people pleasing is a form of idolatry? I'll back this up in just a second. Putting people's opinions ahead of your God calling means that you care more about what people think and want than what God thinks and wants. I'll give it to you again. Putting people's opinion ahead of God's calling for you is by definition a form of idolatry. Didn't mean to, but it's how it works. What if we decided to live a life where we said, man, the first thing, the number one thing we're going to do is I'm going to know my God calling, whatever it is. You know, in another season of your life, it may be giving care to your parent. In an empty nest season, it may be a season where you can do ministry like you've never done before. Whatever God's called you to in the season that you're in. Can I be honest? I started as a children's pastor. I loved kids for a while. Then I left kids and I became a youth and kids pastor. And then I left that and I became a family pastor. I don't even know what that means. I still don't, right? Like, I guess I just talked to everybody, but I was talking to them anyway, so it was weird. So then I became a family pastor. And then I became a family and associate pastor. And then I became a family associate and exec. And then, so like I kept getting titles, but my mission really never changed. Because from the time God called me into the ministry, I knew that I was to minister to people. So when he called me to be a senior pastor and a lead pastor and we pioneered the church, here's what happened. It really didn't change the vision, just the process. I don't teach a whole lot different than I did when I was 18. Jesus didn't change. Who I talked to, a little bit of tweaking of how I presented it, but not a ton. Because I knew what I was called to. And because I knew what I was called to, I knew what I was to say no to. Calling clarifies. A lot of people have plans for your time, but you can't save everybody. Now you need to say this out loud. I cannot save everybody.
I cannot save everybody.
I cannot meet every need.
I cannot do everything.
Do you feel how freeing that is? Some of y'all just need to look at somebody who calls you and shows up peeking over your window or your door or hitting your phone. Just, you've got to learn to say this. No, this is, I'm about to set you free. Are you ready? No. No, I'm just.
No.
That's a complete sentence. Hey, would y'all like to come over for dinner? You know, we really need some time with you guys. No, not going to be able to do it right now. How many times have you ever started doing something and 3 seconds into doing it, you figured out you should never have let somebody talk you in to doing this in the first place? Have you ever just sat there and you're like, I'm in the wrong place, I'm in the wrong job, I remember, do anybody ever date, be set up with a blind date? I mean, the people weren't blind. You just didn't know the other people. People weren't feeling with a stick. They just, and 2 seconds into it, you're like, whoo, especially if you're a guy, because what are we going to do for the dinner? We're paying for it. So now I'm paying to sit with your ugly, miserable friend. Stop. Can I get a hand from some? No, men, it's honesty time. Will you stick your hand up proud if you've ever gotten schmucked into? Yeah, because what happened is this. Remember Andy and Barney? Well, she's nice. She's real nice. She's ugly and she has no personality, but she's nice. She's right. It's okay to say no. So the first thing that people do is you have to understand that you have got to stop wanting to please people. You have to know what you're called to. And the second thing you have to do is you have to know when somebody's trying to control you. You got to be able to recognize it. Here's the thing. So right before this scripture text, Peter wins like the discipleship jeopardy, right? Jesus asks a question and says, well, who do you think that I am? He said, well, who do they think that I am? And then he looks at Peter and says, who do you think I am? Peter makes this statement. He said, I think this. I think you're the Son of the living God. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but yet my Father in heaven. Who do you say I am? People didn't reveal it. God revealed it. When are you going to let God reveal your calling? But also, when are you going to let God reveal to you when people are trying to take you out of that calling? Jesus did it. Jesus said, this is what I must do. This is God's will. And Peter tries to take control of Jesus. Now, does Peter love Jesus? Man, Peter, when we get to the garden and they come to arrest Jesus, Peter's going to try to cut a fool for God. Albeit he's horrible, which I think I personally feel like when I read that, I'm not like a mean guy. I've never stabbed anybody. But I feel like if this dude is getting ready to arrest Jesus, I feel like I could stab him without him knowing it and not cut off his ear. But here's the thing. Why did Peter try to control Jesus? Peter didn't understand God's plan. You have to recognize when somebody's threatening you through guilt, whether they try to isolate you from your friends, they try to manipulate you, whether they try to get you to meet needs that you were never designed to meet. I have people all the time. I have people offer to move in with us because they need it. And because I'm a pastor, evidently I run a boarding house. And we made a decision early. No, I'm being serious. Evidently, we made a decision early on. If you don't share my last name and I cannot claim you on my taxes, you don't live with us. I don't have friends live with me. I have friends stay with me for sure. It's a vacation. It ain't a residency. You are not sending mail to my house. Man, how could you do that? Because I love you. No, man, look, I'm gonna be homeless. I'm not going to have anywhere to go. I appreciate that. I will pray that God opens the door, but it ain't mine. Can I prove why it's not? So we move a woman into our house. And then my wife gets up and goes to work. Who's at the house? Uh-uh. Or it's a dude, and I get up and go to work. Uh-uh. I care more about our calling than I do their convenience. God didn't equip me to meet that need. If he did, he would have given me a hotel. God didn't call me to be a hotel operator. He called me to be a pastor, to lead people in their spiritual journeys. That's it. Man, that's clarifying. That tells me what to say yes to and what to say no to. So you've got to understand this, that when somebody tries to manipulate you to get you to meet needs that are designed to meet their end game and not yours, it's probably control. You ever notice that nobody ever calls you and says, hey man, what are you doing in the next 5 minutes? I just want to see what I can do to help you accomplish your life goals. Hey, you got a bunch going on in your life? I got like 15 minutes. What can I do to help you? No, they call you in the middle of your crisis to get you to help them fulfill their calling. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping people. Don't miss this message. But if helping them takes you away from your calling, it's probably manipulation. And we have to, as Christians, learn how to say no. The third thing we have to do is when people try to manipulate us, we got to learn how to draw a line in the sand. There are absolutes. No, there's absolutely stuff I'm not going to do. Have you ever had this? Hold on. Go to verse 23. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, we're getting ready to go into Thanksgiving, right? And somebody's mom, grandmom, great-grandma, cousin, uncle, brother, sister, family, friend is going to try to guilt you into going somewhere you know is the worst place you can go. And so what's going to happen is they're going to try to get you to do something that's outside your calling. It's going to happen. I promise you this, before today is out, you're going to get a phone call, a text, or email, an Instagram, a Facebook, and somebody's going to try to talk you into doing something that you know in your heart is outside what you should be doing. You can do one of two things. You can either care more about what they've called you to do, or you can care more about what God called you to do, but you can't do both. Jesus loved Peter. I mean, Jesus is going to build his whole stinking church around Peter. I question that, but God knows best, right? Like, if you were picking 12, wouldn't Andrew seem like a better choice? So you know what we learned? We can't go with what we think is best for our life or anybody else's. It's got to be God-led, or we're all going to be wrong. He looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So what are you going to do tomorrow when Grandma calls and makes you feel guilty about not doing something? You know what's crazy? Peter loved Jesus, but sounded like Satan. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time in my life, Satan shows up not with that gravelly voice and the rolled back eyes and the spinning head like off of Exorcist. He sounds more like my grandma or my neighbor who loves me or my friend down the street who's just trying to get me to do what they think is best for me. So you've got to look at grandma and you've got to say, get behind me, Satan. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you do have to be able to recognize it when it shows up and be ready in advance. See, the problem is we're ambushed all the time with stuff. And then we don't know how to react. How many of you guys have ever had somebody insult you and 2 days later you could have smoked that? Like, you know what? If they say that again, you know what I'm going to say? When they say that, no, listen. When they say that, I'm going to say, and your mama. Wait, and then you're like waiting on it. Like, you're right, you're like, my thing is this, if you're prepared to deal with controlling people before controlling people get there, you'll know how to handle it. This is freeing. You know the hardest thing I ever had to learn how to do as a pastor? And I'm still working on it. I love you and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm just not going to be able to do that right now. I'm sorry. The answer is no. Because I wrestle with that guilt of, man, I don't want to disappoint them, and I want them to know that I love them because I want them to know that God loves them, but I can't do what everybody wants me to do and do what God wants me to do at the same time. And if somebody's got to get disappointed, it really shouldn't be God because he died for me. As much as I love them, as much as I love grandma, if I'm going to disappoint either grandma or God, it's got to be God. I mean, it's got to be grandma. But then I feel guilty. But my question is, do you feel guilty because you should feel guilty? Or do you feel guilty because somebody else put that yoke on you? You can't pull a sled you were never designed to pull. Now, am I saying don't go visit your grandparents? Please don't twist this. Don't be foolish. Go see your grandparents. Love on them. But if your kid's not going to have clean underwear to wear to school on Monday, don't go see grandma on Sunday. You know it's not where you're supposed to be. If you've got an opportunity to watch Instagram, but instead, and somebody's like, oh, you got to see this video, but it's either watch the video or I don't know, read your Bible. Yeah, but they said I had to do it. And if not, they're going to feel bad because they sent it to me and they're a good friend of mine. And I guess I could just look at it real. See how easy control happens? But when you go, no, first thing I am is I'm a Christ follower. I'm going to read this, and then if there's time, I'll read Joe's text. But if Joe isn't happy with when I get done with my Bible, well, Joe, I'm going to crack a joke that only certain people are going to get, can go climb a tree. He's a tree climber. Anyway, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine what happened if Jesus was as codependent on Peter as we are the people in our life. What if he said, Jesus, you can't go to the cross, and Peter said, Jesus said this to Peter. Peter, he goes, Peter, you know what? You're right. I don't want to let you down. I just won't do it. I just won't go to the cross and save humanity just to make you happy. What about this? What if he said this? You know what, Peter? I'll do what you want. Or what if he said this? Peter, don't throw a fit. I'll do everything you wanted. Or what if he said, Peter, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I just won't go to the cross. See, here's the thing. Just because what God asked you to do is hard doesn't mean God didn't ask you to do it. Just because God told you to say no to it doesn't mean that it's still not God. You can't do everything. You can't save everybody. You can't help everybody. At some point, to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to learn to say no and get the puppet strings off your life. Jesus said this, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Here's the problem. The commonality that all the people have in control in your life is you. All the people controlling your life, you're letting them control it. All the people that make you feel guilty, it's because you let them make you feel guilty. All the people that intimidate you and threaten you are because you let them. At some point, you've got to learn to draw that line in the sand and say, no, because here's the thing. Jesus said this, you do not have in mind the things of God, you have in mind the things of men. Who's going to control the way you think? Who's going to control the way you set your goals, your priorities? The only person that can do that is you. And the only commonality in the people that control you is you. Because see, relationships are a combination of what you've created and what you've allowed. Every relationship in your life is a combination of what you've created and what you've... If you're in a bad... And I'm not saying every marriage is because of what you did, but you had something to do with it becoming bad. If you're in a good marriage, you had something to do with it becoming good. If you've got good kids, it's because you raised good kids. If you've got horrible kids, it's because you raised them bad. Can I explain it to you? Go to Walmart. No. This isn't the funny part yet. Find a toddler. Just watch its behavior and then watch the parents' call to that behavior. All kids are going to test boundaries. People that love you are going to try to test your boundaries. They're going to try to control you, not because they don't love you, but because they do. But I want that toy. I can't tell you how many times my wife's had to grab my arm and pull me down an aisle because I'd be like, I can help them solve that. Oh, no, I can help you through this process in about 2 minutes. So in my family, because we raised a child, when my son would do that, my son tried that a couple of times. First thing I did was I raised my eyebrow and I snapped my finger. Generally, that was enough because my son knew that my expectation and my demand were going to be a different set of behavior standards. And past an eyebrow and a snap came a hand and a rear end, and they met. I can't tell you how many times do we need to go to the bathroom, and not because anybody needs to pee. My wife didn't spank our kid very much because people would look in public. She did this weird pinch thing, and it's satanic, man. It hurts so bad, and it's just one little piece of skin. It's like, oh, man, she did it to me one time. I'm like, what'd you do? And she goes, this. And I'm like, oh, da, da. She goes, watch how well it works, though. We were in a grocery store, and you know, kids grabbing and crying and wants everything. She's like, stop it and act better than that. That's expectation. And then she'd look at him and go. Mother, I feel the need to pray. Now my son now is 4 feet taller than my wife. He's built like Gigantor, right? And my wife can walk through the house just playing with him and be like, and he'd be like, uh-uh. He's a start, right? You ain't never seen a big dude move that fast. I'm just telling you. So here's the thing. Your marriage, your parents, your siblings, coworkers, boss, kids. If you don't like what you have, change what you expect and what you accept. Yeah, write that down. If you don't like what you have, change what you expect and what you accept. Yes, we're willing to come see you. It's just not today. Yes, I'm willing to help you. It's just not right now. Yes, I will meet with you, but it's going to be on down the road. Or no, I can't meet with you, but here's somebody who can. Expect something better. You cannot accept disrespect, anger, etc. You just can't. It's unacceptable. Sometimes the response has to look like this. I love you, but I will not let you threaten me or heap guilt on me. Can you imagine when somebody's trying to dump guilt on you? You're like, whoa, time out. I love you. Let's establish it because we're called as Christians love people, right? I love you, but I'm not your puppet. I'm not going to make you happy. If you need me to make you happy, you need to buy something else. I'm not yours to control. I love you, but I will not let you threaten me. I love you, but I will not let you put guilt on me. I won't do it. I'm sorry. I release myself from you making me feel guilty. I talked to a parent this week that needed to hear this. They had a tragedy in their family, and them and one of their children had this breakdown, and she called me super upset. She got a wonderful heart, and she's just like, I wasn't always the best parent. I made some mistakes. And I said, yeah, welcome to being human. But you can't judge your life on your mistake, but not offset your mistake with all the times you were there. Everything's in balance. Like I was there 364 days a year, and then one day I dropped the ball and screwed up. I mean, nobody died, but I just messed up a little bit as a human. That doesn't make you a bad parent. That just makes you alive. So you can't judge the failure if you also don't judge the successes. Does that make sense? Now, if you're always gone and you're only a good parent one day a week, yeah, you got some adjustments to do. So it's a body of work. So here's the thing. I sit there and I go, man, what happens? I said, you're going to have to look at your child and say, I love you. And I wasn't always a perfect parent. But I'm not going to let you make me feel guilty. I did the best I could with what I had to deal with. I'm sorry. I wish I could change it, but I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Because in Christ there is no condemnation. You're not going to condemn me for something that I'm forgiven for. Now, how do we make the future better? But I can't change the past. Well, if you don't do this, I'm leaving. Well, I've had that as a pastor. I've had people go, hey, if you don't come and do this, if your church doesn't, it cracks me up, people that come from other churches but want our church to become what their church is, was. I tell them, like, one, you left there, so if it was good, they put forward and reverse on every card that I've ever seen made. We're not broken. We don't need you to help fix us. Are there things that Thrive could do better? Absolutely, but we're pretty good. I like us. So don't come and try to change, right? Something that we think is pretty good. You can come be a part of it, but I'm not going to let you yoke. Does this see how this works? I love you. And we have people go, well, if you're not willing to do blank. I had somebody come when we were early on and say, if you don't want to put a choir in, I'll leave. I said, we put two exits in the sanctuary. There's one on the right, one on the left. Just pick one of them. The doors open, they swing, we don't lock them, you're good. Why, man, that's kind of harsh. No, it's not. I know what we're called to. We're here to do three things. We're helping people know Christ, grow in Christ, and go do something for God. That's the three things that we're here to help you do. Now, we want to build community, but what is that, man? That's growth, right? We want to grow you in those relationships. So we know what we're called to do. And if it doesn't fit in that, because the first thing we ask in a staff meeting is we'll sit there and we'll say, what is this helping us do? Is it helping us grow in God, go do something for God? Because if you're not doing one of those three things, we don't do it. So it helps us say yes and it helps us say no, but it also feels, it releases us from the guilt of what we don't do. You mean y'all don't have a food pantry? Nope, don't have anywhere to put it. Our food pantry, we have no more square footage left. Our food pantry is called a trunk. Who wants, right? I don't feel guilty about that because when God wants us to run our own food pantry, he'll give us a place to do it at. Until then, I ain't going to feel guilty about not doing it. Y'all don't do vacation Bible school? No, because everybody else does. We'll just send them across the street. Everybody does it. Pick somebody else. We just don't do that. Is it because VBS is bad? No, it's not in our DNA. I just don't do puppets. Do you feel what I'm saying? But I'm not going to feel guilt. I'm going to release myself into the calling that God has. When you draw a line, the dynamics of your relationship with who you're talking about will change. They'll shout, they'll withdraw, they'll be critical. The reason's because they're hurt. They're hurt that you won't let them control you. They're hurt that they don't have that voice in your life. Living in a dysfunctional relationship is worse than the pain that it takes you to break it. Now I'm going to say that again. The pain of living in dysfunctional relationships is way worse than the pain it takes to break them. Now, I'm going to say that again. The pain of living in dysfunctional relationships is worse than the pain it takes to break them. If you've got to get rid of people that control your life. That you can only have one master. That's the Bible. It's either God or it's not. And if you're not living out your God to the fullest potential, then you're not really living. I'm going to end with this. It's easy to point out people in your life that control you. It's real hard to see where you're controlling. Here's what I've kind of come to the place. So I now raise an adult. I don't know how you do that, but I figured this out. I don't have the power to change my spouse. They're an adult. I don't want a mom. I've got one. You don't need a dad if you're a woman. You've got one. You need a partner. You need a spouse. I did not marry my wife to raise her. She was a fully functioning adult when we got married. She could come in out of the rain on her own. She drove a car. She got a job. She graduated college. She was full function. She dressed herself. She put on her own makeup. I mean, she was full functioning when I got her. But you ever notice through the course of a relationship that changes a little bit? We forget that dynamic. Because what we want to do is we want to control our spouse. And then when our kids were little, they needed us to control their world, right? But then as they got older, we kept trying to control their world rather than point them in the right direction and then just watching and see if they did it. But you can't make them did it. You can't make them did it at all. Because they're born with free will. They're going to do what they think is right for their life, even if you know it's a horrible idea. And you've got to be okay to say, you know what? God knows what he's doing in their life, just like he knew what he was doing in mine. How many of you guys made bad decisions? Took bad turns? Did things you regret? When will you give your kids the freedom to do the same thing? I have to make a confession. I'm a little bit of a control freak. But here's what I figured out. I don't play God well. I'm not a good God. Can I make a confession that's maybe harder for you to accept? You're not a good God either. God does not want you controlling the world. God does not want you controlling your children. Grown. Little ones, do what you want to with. Big ones, let them go. Let them leave the nest, even if they bump into some stuff. Be there to help. Be there to clean up. Be there to give instruction, advice. But remember, it's just advice. It's not a string. Oh, this is hard for me to learn. Because I'm a mad boy. I like controlling my world. Verse 24. Jesus said this. Matthew 16:24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves what you want. Take up their cross, stuff that causes pain, and follow him. When you follow Jesus, you are not in control. The only person that should be controlling your life is not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's got to be God. And you have to give yourself the freedom not to have to control other people's lives too. Relational vampires. Nobody ever got a tick on their body that I've ever known and said, you know what, we should just let it live here and eat. It's just hungry. Ticks suck the life out of us, literally. You know what we do? I figured out this week, and I won't tell you how, but I'm a 12-year-old girl with certain things. My wife, I did a girl dance and jumped off a ladder. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but it was bad. If I find a tick on me, I'm like, oh. Have you ever thought you had a mole and it had legs? You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you're an outdoors person, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I walk into my wife and I'm like, get it out. I've looked at buddies and I'm like, get this tick off of me. Get it off. Get your pocket knife out. We may leave the head, and if we do it, cut a divot. Get this, right? Can I get a witness from somebody who hates ticks that bad? But here's the thing. Why are we that anxious to get a parasite off of our skin that will not kill us, but yet we'll leave these parasitic relationships, these vampire relationships in our life, and let them suck the life out of us without dealing with them?
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.